Okay, let's begin Bez Hashem with a little halacha over here, Bez Hashem. Okay, we're learning the sugya of Haseba. Okay, gesmack. Haseba, by the way, it's important. When I was trying to figure out the sugyas for us to be learning, I Vidapka chose the sugyas which are the most critical. The ones that are most important for us to know, halacha l'maaseh. And Haseba, obviously, is something extremely important. Why? Because if you don't do that Haseba, then you're not Yotze, like we discussed last time, you're going to have to do it again. So you're going to have to do the matzah again, you're going to have to do the dalet kozos again, if you don't do that Haseba, or if you do it and you didn't do it properly. So therefore, it's important for us to know what exactly is the Haseba, what do we need to do, how do we do it, who needs to do all of these details. Bez Hashem, we're going to try to be Mavar today. Okay, so let's begin Bez Hashem discussing the question of Haseba, how to do it right, and who needs to do it, who is from the Haseba. Let's begin Bez Hashem. The Gemara talks about it on the Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says on Kuf that. One second, let's move this out of the way.
Gemara Pesachim, right?
Okay, the Gemara Pesachim, Dav Kuf Ches and Maral talks about the sugya of Haseba, and we discussed already last time a little bit of Haseba by Dalet Kozos, that we need to do Haseba by all of them. We discussed that you need to do Haseba by Matzah. We discussed you do not need to do Haseba by Maror. The reason being because Haseba is a din in Cheiros, and by Maror is a zechah to the Shibud, while Matzah and Dalet Kozos is a zechah to the Cheiros. Dalakas themselves, we saw what and the conclusion was that we need to do by all four, which we discussed at length, the Hesber behind that. We also discussed what is the idea of Haseba. Is it a din in Cheirus and it's a separate halacha, or is it a din in the Matzah and the Dalakas that the way they are fulfilled is through the Haseba? The Nafkamina was, is it going to require you to do it again? That also was a separate topic with the Priska Rav and the Rambam and the Rush with the Tosfos. Now we come to the next part of the sugya. The Gemara says, Prakdon lo shmei Haseba. Prakdon, the word prakdon, it's unclear exactly what it means, and we'll explain it, is not considered Haseba. Prakdon lo shmei Haseba. The words are that it's not called Haseba. It's not called a Haseba. That means theoretically the guy is doing something which looks like a Haseba, tastes like a Haseba, but it's not a Haseba. Right?
How does something taste like a Haseba?
Yeah, that's a good kasha. But it even smells like a Haseba and it's still not a Haseba. Right? So let's explain why would it be that Prakton is not a Haseba. But before we do that, let's continue a little bit further in the Gemara and it will help us understand better. The Gemara
What's
continues
and says,
we're going to explain in a minute. The Gemara explains, it's Haseba Siyamin, Lo Shmei Haseba. Haseba on the right side is not considered Haseba. Haseba on the right side is not Haseba. Very interesting. Why should that be? So let's try to understand. Why is it that if a guy is Prakdon or a guy is on the right side where it looks like Haseba, smells like Haseba, tastes like a Haseba, but it's not a Haseba. What's the pshat?
Also on the back and the front, right? On your face, right?
So let's explain. The Mepharshim discussed what exactly is Prakdon. There's a Rashi. The Rashi's here? No, the Rashi's not here. There's a Rashbam. The Rashbam says in Prakdon, he says, Panav klape mala v'shoichev al achoyrov. And if you look in the Bach adds in, Panav ubitnoi. His face and his stomach are facing upward, and he's lying on his back. So he's lying on his back. Prakdon means I'm lying on my back. That's prakdon, lying on my back. So the Gemara says that prakdon is considered not Haseba. And the same thing Tosfos says over here also. Tosfos says prakdon means I'm facing upward. That's not Haseba. That's how Tosfos is Masbir, the Rashbam is Masbir. That's what's going on over here. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi also says, Shokel achorav. He's leaning backwards. And then it's not a Haseba because he's backwards. That's not a Haseba. right? It's not Dibra Masl Pragdan, it's Dibra Masl Shamiyakdin, but that's what Rashi explains it. Okay, so we have three Rishonim that are saying Pragdan means I'm lying on my back and I'm facing upward. Now, Yosef Bentley wanted to know, what about if I'm lying on my stomach and I'm facing downward, right? So the person points out that Ein Derech, he says, Ein Derech Lechol Binyan Zeh. Most people are not going to be drinking a cup of wine while they're lying on their stomach, right? Or eating matzah while they're lying on their stomach face down. Most people are not going to do that. It's not a derech. Most people don't eat that way. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't discuss it, right? But it sounds like it's a possibility. It could be that there's somebody, it's Masraf and Tosfos, that it's somebody, there is somebody out there that does explain it in that way. So who is it that explains it in that way? Tosfos says, Lo ki mefarish. Who is this mefarish that Tosfos come with lapu, okay? So we know one of our best friends, the Rambam. Hey, Danny, Perek Zayin, Halacha Ches, the Rambam says, he doesn't quote the word prakdon, but he says, Hamesiv al arpoi, oy al panav. Arpoi is the back of your neck. Arpa. That's why arpa is called arpa, because she turned her back on the Ami, on Yiddishkeit, and she showed the back of her neck. That's why she's called arpa. Yeah? The truth is, that's my home shot. But it sounds good. Lamaisa, yeah, Bechena Mesebel Arpoi, yeah, that what's it called? Somebody who's lying on his back of his neck, or Alpanov, the Rambam says, Einzo Aseba. Where did the Rambam get that from? Alpanov. Alpanov. The Gemara doesn't say Alpanov. Zuck, the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah always comes to defend the Rambam, explain the Rambam. He says, where's the Makar of the Rambam? He says, Pirish Rabbeinu, Prakdon, the Rambam explains the word Prakdon, Meisiv al Arpoi, Oy al Panav, either one. Now why should that be? Why would the word Prakdon mean both forward or on your back? Why should that be? L'chayr, the word Prakdon has a definition. Which one is it? You can't say that the word Prakdon means both. It's hard to understand. How could that be? It's a difficult point. Comes the Magid Mishnah and says a beautiful way out. He says the word is like this. Prakdon doesn't mean specifically lying on your back. And it also doesn't mean specifically lying on your face. Stomach. What does it mean? Prakdon is a way of referring to anybody who is not lying on his side. If you're lying on your side, then you're not prakdon. If you're not on your side,
Dafka, your left side or your right hand?
Any side, it doesn't make a difference. When you're lying on your side, it's not called prakdon. When you're not on your side, then it's called prakdon. So it's a beautiful way of explaining the Gemara. Now the Gemara comes out like this. It's very gishmak, because the way the Rishonim, the Rashi, the Rashbam, they're explaining the Gemara, it comes out that the Gemara really only explains two out of three cases, right? There's really three possibilities besides for leaning on your left side. There's your right side, there's your back, and there's your stomach, right? And the Gemara only explained two out of three. It only explained your right side and lying on your back. Why didn't it explain your stomach? So Tosfos says, you know, I'll tell you, it's taka interesting hara, but the reason is because not the derech to lie down in that way, which is very nice, beautiful pshat, kishmak. But the way the Rambam explains it, it's even better. Because the way the Rambam explains it, it's even better. Because the way the Rambam explains it, the Gemara does talk about all the possible cases. The Gemara says, prakdon, and that means anything which is not on your side. It could be the front, it could be the back. It's the same thing. It's all included in the word prakdon. The question is how to define the word prakdon. That's the shiloh on the table. So now we know that this is also a halacha lemaisa nafkamina. As I'm sure you're aware, there's a discussion in the Gemara and in the Rishonim and the Halacha of how a person is supposed to be going to sleep every night. How is a person supposed to go to bed when he goes to sleep? We learn Aruch Chaim. Aruch Chaim tells us the Halachas of how to live our life. How do you go to sleep? So the Rambam says you're supposed to go right? On your left side, you're supposed to go to sleep on your left side, and then you wake up in the morning on your right side. That's what the Rambam says. There's a halacha that it's usur to go to sleep prakdan. Now, there's a tremendous question. What exactly does that mean? Usur to go to sleep prakdan, it's usur to sleep on my stomach, usur to sleep on my back. What does it mean? According to the Rambam, it means it's usur to go to sleep on your stomach or on your back. Both of them are usur. The reason the Gemara gives is because the child is going to lead to carry. That's why it's a usur to go to sleep prakdan. So therefore, it's a tremendous...
But there, doesn't it dafka mean on your stomach?
What?
But there, doesn't it dafka mean on your stomach? Isn't that why he says to...
No.
At all.
No, I'll send you back. I'll send you back.
Isn't back because it's like an ayin hara that you're like laying down, like when you're dead, when they bury you, you're on your back?
You're as is parim to Hashem. You're looking at the glory of God.
I don't know. I never heard one about the burial. That's the new chat to me.
I mean, what if you wear a towel?
What Danny's saying is the other, that's the other mahalach that is given. But Lamaisa.
I heard an eitz of someone, let's say, on a hammock, right? And you, let's say they want to go on their back. So they could put like a towel like over, or a bandana over their face. This way they're not looking up at whatever Hashem.
Really? I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. Lamaisa, Rebbe Wiener, that if you're not totally lying down, if you're, let's say, in a sitting position, your back is up against the wall, let's say, for example, so then that would be Eicha Timtza, where it's not included in this din of practum. Another Hatter, Alach L'maisa, is in a situation where, let's say, it's only you're not going to sleep. You're just, let's say, resting for a minute. But, so then that also could be Eicha Timtza, where it's a short period of time. Obviously, to get more details, we have to learn up that sugya b'fnei atzma. But I'll combine them in defining what the word prakdan means. So it is mamash our sugya, because here we have a machlokas between the Rambam on the one hand, Alpita Magi Mishnah, and Rashi Taisvis, the Rashbam, on the other hand. What does the word prakdan mean? Rambam says, Magi Mishnah says, it means anything which is not your side. Rashi Taisvis, Rashbam, learn, no, it means on your back. Mamash Allah Lamais and Afkamina, wherever you come across the word prakdan, you have a makar, imsachim dafkup ches, what the word means. Okay, al kopanim. So at this point, we're saying that prakdan is not a seba. Now, why not? Why is it not a seba? Question number one. Question number two is that the next line, the Gemara says, yamin is also not a seba. Why is a seba yamin? If let's say I'm on the right side, so it's not a seba. On the left side, it is a seba. What's the difference? You want to tell me that on my right side it's a seba, but I'm not yotze. So fine. So say a seba, I'm not yotze. Why would I not be yotze? We would need to explain it. Fine. But why is it not a seba? What's the pshat that it's not a seba? Horror number two. Okay. Now horror number three is that the Gemara continues and says like this. The Gemara says, "V'lo yoid ella shema yaktim." This is probably the more famous part of the Gemara. The Gemara says that another problem is that maybe there's going to be a kedima of veshet, and it's going to lead to sakana. What's the kana? What's the veshet? There's the two tubes within a person's throat area, the esophagus and the trachea. Right? The esophagus is used for the food. That's how the food goes down, and the trachea is where the wind, the air, is inhaled from. And Maisa, the way they're set up is such that there's a I forgot exactly what it's called, the medical scientific term is for the little cap, there's a little cap that covers the trachea to prevent food and drink from going down the trachea while the
epiglottis.
What's it called? Epiglottis?
Epiglottis.
Oh, epiglottis. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. While I turn off my ringer over here. Yeah, the epiglottis.
Who says this, who's the one that said it?
The Gemara. The Gemara says. So the Gemara says the problem, and the Rishon explained that the, you know, what these different parts are. Kind of veshet, you know, if you want to know how to chazen, it's new brain surgery. You learned that stuff in the end. Anyway, I'll go on in. So, Danny, it's for you, Danny.
It's better to say it was Shrei Ruach Kodesh, Rabbi.
Anyway, I'll go on in. So Lamaisa, what are we saying over here is that is a sakana because the food that I'm eating, let's say I'm eating the matzah or I'm drinking zal kaisis, if I'm leaning in a problematic way, so the epiglottis is going to open because of the force of gravity, let's say, and then it's going to be a sakana because some sort of food particle or liquid particle is going to go down the trachea. It's going to be dangerous. The person could choke. So therefore, it's a problem, and that's why you shouldn't do it. So the question is, where does this apply, this danger? Where does this danger apply? The Rashi explains that the danger applies when a person is lying on his back. So because he's backward, so the epiglottis is leaning backwards. It's going to open up, and therefore, it's going to cause a danger. Not for when he's backward. That's the way Rashi's masbir. Right. However, the way the Rashbam is masbir, the Rashbam says that's shver. He says you read the Gemara. The Gemara says prakdon lo shmei aseba, haseba simin lo shmei aseba, lo shmei aseba. L'chayre it should have said, and then it says v'loy oyd el Hashem yaktim kol veshem. According to Rashi, that lo od el Hashem yaktiv kanam veshet is referring to the case of prakdon. So it should have said prakdon lo shmei aseba v'lo yoyed el Hashem yaktiv kanam veshet. Then that l'chayv the Gemara is not set up properly. It's shver. It's not geshmak in the order of the Gemara. Dr. Rashbam, Rabbi Isai, he says, my Rabbeim say a different pshat. What's my Rabbeim's pshat? They say that the way it's set up in the body is that one is on the right side and one is on the left side, right? So when I'm leaning in one direction or the other direction, that's going to have an effect. So mela like this. The Gemara says that Hasebas Yemin is not a Seba. Not only that, but maybe the food is going to end up going down the trachea before it goes down the esophagus, which means that on its way down, right, it's got to pass over the trachea before the esophagus. That's true if a person is leaning on his right side and the structure in the body is that the trachea is on the left side and the esophagus on the right side. So then it's going to pass, right? Mela, that's the Rashbam's Hesber, that it's going to be a problem of Shem Yaktim Kana Leveshet. It's not on the right side. Okay, so this is the Machlokes Rashi, the Rashbam, a shell of sakana. It could be, I want to suggest, I don't know, I across, yet in the farshim that they say this pshat, but it could be that maybe the reason why it says it at the end, Al Pi Rashi, we can suggest maybe that, to be Miyasha for Rashi, we can suggest that maybe the reason why it says it at the end is because really it's referring to both Prakta lo shmei aseba and the seba zimin lo shma aseba. But in both, there's also a sakana. Lo yoyed el shem yagdim kadol veshed v'yol disigono. In both of them, not only on the second one, but also on Prakta. And when Rashi's coming and giving his hesber about Prakta, so Rashi's giving that explanation. The Rashbam is giving his explanation why it's referring to, what's it called? Haseba simin. I'm suggesting maybe there'll be a third shot that will hold that it's really referring to both. Okay, I'll go upon him. Let's get back to the other two ha'aras, right? The other two ha'aras were, why on the right side is it not a seba b'chlal? L'chor it's a seba, but I'm just not yotze, because I didn't do it the right way. Or on my back, why is it not a seba? It says it's not a seba. Why is it not a seba? It is a seba, I just didn't do it the way Chazal told me to do it. What's the pshat in that lushan of the Chazal? So the reason why I wanted to make sure that we finish the Gemara first and then get back to this is because it's mevur from the veloy oid of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Veloy oid, and not only that, but even more so, right? That means that there's two separate things going on. Point one is that it's not Haseba. Point two, there, even if it would be Haseba, there's also a danger involved, right? And the point of that is that you see from that structure that the pshat in the first part of the Gemara is that it's mamish not Haseba at all. It's not that it's Haseba, but you're just not Yotze, right? Because then the Lashon V'loy Oid is not as Gishmak. The Lashon V'loy Oid is mashma that there's no Haseba here b'chlal. And not only that, but even if there would be a Haseba, it would be dangerous. Right? So that's the setup of the Gemara. So I'm using that to also help us appreciate that the Lashon of the Gemara is very, very powerful, very strong. And it's just strengthening the aura. Why is it taka so that Prakton is not a Haseba and a Haseba Zimin is not a Haseba? You look at the Rashbam says a few words, very few words, but it helps open up the whole inyan, helps us appreciate this. Rashbam says, Hasebas Yamin, Lav Shmei Haseba. Lav Shmo Haseba. Haseba on the right side is not called Haseba. That's the Gemara. Zak the Rashbam, why not? Sheharei Biyaminoi, Hu Tzarech Lechol. He needs to eat with his right hand. Why is it not a Haseba? Because you need to eat with your right hand. What? As a question. Why does the fact that I need to eat with my right hand mean that it's not a Haseba? It's b'chor hard to understand. I'm lying down, let's say, yeah? Or I'm leaning on my right hand. So I'm eating. What's the problem? Why is it not a Haseba? I'm still leaning. You see clearly that Haseba means, first of all, I'm leaning on my arm. And if I'm using my arm to eat, so then I won't be able to lean on my arm properly in a way that that's called a Haseba. What am I going to be doing? I'm going to be using my body strength to hold myself up, to hold my muscles up in that position while I'm using my hand to eat simultaneously leaning, right? So that means, Zakti Gemara, Zakti Rashbam, that's not a Haseba. Using your body to hold yourself in that leaning position, that's not a Haseba. Haseba means that you are actually leaning on your hand. And if you would need to use your hand for something else and you're supplementing that, you know, support with your strength to hold yourself in the position with so you shouldn't fall, that's not a Haseba. Haseba is a certain idea of reclining, a certain position that you're in, which is regal. There's chayrus involved. Somebody who is a free man, somebody who is royalty, he doesn't have to exert himself while he's eating. So that's the idea of the chayrus over here. The idea of the chayrus in the Haseba is that I'm total relaxation. I'm just enjoying life. It's givaldic. I have no worries, no pressures. I'm leaning. I have my grapes being fed to me with my other hand. This is the life. This is the life. That's what it's about.
I have a question.
Yes, Danny, what's your question?
I was wondering, what was the Maramakam again that the source for the leaning is Malchus, like kingness, royalty?
Because it says that the idea is that we were Nigal. And it's going out of Abdus. It says it in the previous Gemara. We had it last, what's it called?
Right, but where's the concept of us having Malchus? Like, I understand that B'nai Chayrin, but where do we see Malchus at all by Tzias Mitzrayim?
I'm using, you're right, it's not Mamish Malchus. I'm using that lushin of being royal as the antithesis of being an Eved.
But you're right. But I'm saying, people talk all the time about like, oh, we're like kings and like we're royalty. But is there any real Maramakam that like describes our?
Yeah, of course, 100%. There's definitely discussion about it, and we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch and the tour in this siman where they say that you're supposed to set the table in a very, very fancy way because we're like royalty. But I'm saying, as far as what we've discussed in specific Haseba, you're right. here on the page, it doesn't say royalty. It just contrasts Cheirus versus Avdus. But there is Mekairus, it will see in the Pais game, that bring down that you're supposed to be regal on the Leil HaSeder. Right? The Ma'ariel, and hundreds of years later, Shlomo Zalman, there's a minig in Klai Yisrael that even people who didn't use all of the kelim for the Leil HaSeder, because there's halacha of Zecha L'Korban, you're not allowed to use all the fancy kelim on your table at one Suda. But by Leil HaSeder, it doesn't apply because there's a musig of Malchus. Okay, I'll call upon him. So let's get back. The idea is that if I need to support myself, if I'm not eating in a way where I'm a total, you know, relaxed, so then that's not cheirus. That's not a seiva. Memela, we also understand l'chayra, lying on your back. Person who's lying on his back or lying on his stomach, that's not a relaxed way to eat. That's not somebody who feels like he's mamash ben chayrin. That's somebody who's nervous. He's going to spill on himself. It's somebody who, you know, the way that he can't hold himself up, so he's eating in that position. Any normal human being who is capable of keeping his body upright, so he's not going to eat lying down. People don't do that. Okay, why? Because it's not a normal way to eat. People are going to spill everywhere. The way that it works, it doesn't work out in a comfortable, regal decor way. And therefore, the Gemara says that a sebas yamin or prakdon is not haseba. It's not a seba at all. It's not pshat you did a seba, but you didn't do it the way the Chazal told you to do it, and therefore you're not yotzei. It's not the pshat. The pshat is you're not yotzei at all, because it wasn't a seba. Now, that opens up our eyes to be able to come to the Leil HaSeder and prepare ourselves for doing a seba properly. It says in the Torah, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Tafayin Beis, that when you're coming to the Leil HaSeder, a person needs to prepare his place at the Seder in a way that he's going to be able to do a Seba, Derech Eros. Zok the Torah, Tafayin Beis, Sif Beis, V'yisadeh Shulchano, Yafe, B'keilim Noem, Kifi Koichoi. Right? V'yachin Mekoi Meishavoi, and he should prepare his place, Shiyeshev, the way he's going to sit, V'heh Seba, he'll be able to sit in a way which is reclining, which is leaning, Derech Cheirus. Okay, so it says before us in the Torah, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, a person needs to make sure that he scouts out the situation in advance, and he knows what is going to be my matzav for Haseba by the Leil HaSeder. Now let's just, are there any lefties over here? No lefties? Okay, let's just speak out a major shiloh which comes up, right? What do we just conclude? That at the end of the day, there's two problems, at least, you know, in leaning on your right side, according to the Rishban. One is that you need to eat with your right hand, and the other is that it's dangerous. There's a sakana, shas sakana. So what happens if a person's a lefty? So he eats with his left hand, right? So then maybe he can lean on his right side, and he's going to eat with his left hand. If he leans on his left side, then he's going to be eating with his left hand. He's not going to have a seba. So what does he do? He has a problem. Mitzad echad, leaning on his left side, he's going to be eating with his left hand. He's not doing a seba. Mitzad sheni, he's going to lean on his right side, he'll eat with his left hand. But sakana, it's dangerous. So what does he do? You guys saw this in the what's it called? In the tour? The tour brings up this shaila, and the tour says that lefi zeh, according to the Rashbam pshat, that the issue is eating with his right hand, eat there yad yimino, he's somebody who's a lefty, he's not as strong with his right hand, yad yimino, he should lean on his right side. You hear that? Lean on his right side, eat with his left hand. Sakona! What's he doing? It's Sakona! Doug DeBasey, I said he says, Damashem Yagdim, he's a Vida of time of Lessa. We eat there, yeah. We eat there. One second, there's a gears over here. Yeah. He says, we eat there by somebody who is a lefty. He says, of course, when Jews are Dashen, he says, near the Shabkinon time of the Zarach Lechel Bimin, Mikami time of the Shemiyakdim, Mishum the Isbe Sakanda. A Sakana is more dangerous. Chemir Sakanda Mizura, the Gemara says. A Sakana is more severe than Isser. Therefore, Zarach the Beis Isaac, don't lean on your right side. That's going to be dangerous. Lean on your left side. I am eating with my left hand. So what? Your right side is dangerous. Don't do it. Machlokes between the tour and the Beis Yosef and the Trimas and Deshen. What's the pshat in the tour? How could the tour say what he's saying? The Maya is dangerous. That's the pshat. The Teretz is, LP, what we explained, the pshat is pashut. It's very pashut of pshat. Because if you're eating with your left hand and you're leaning on your left side, according to Gemara, the way the Torah was understanding the Gemara, that's not leaning at all. You may as well not lean, Bechlal. You may as well just sit straight. Leaning on your right side, you're right, is dangerous. But at least you're leaning. Why? Because you're eating with your left hand. He's a lefty. So therefore, Zakat Torah, if I have a choice, don't lean, Bechlal, or lean in a way that's dangerous, what should I do? May as well lean the way that's dangerous, right? That's the tour's shot. That's why the tour says a lefty leans on his right side, eats with his left hand while he's leaning on his right hand. Mashenkin, the Beis Yosef, and the Trumas Hadeshen, what are they saying? They're saying, look, Lamais, the bottom line is it's dangerous. You can't put yourself in a danger. So therefore, you cannot eat, or you cannot lean on your right side. I am not going to end up leaning. Don't lean. I'm suggesting based on what it comes out of the pashtus of the sugya is that the chayra, it's, you know, it's not going to make a difference. If he would lean on his left side, he eats with his left hand, so then it could be that it wouldn't make a difference. What does it say in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah? The Mishnah Berurah says if a guy is a lefty, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Ramah says, "Ein chiluk b'nita l'acha." The Ramah says, "There's no difference between a lefty and a righty." That's the Ramah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, he says, "What do you mean? You're eating with your left hand?" So then it comes out that he's not doing the zeba. He says, "The problem is." That this is sakana, like we saw in the Beis Yosef. And listen to what he says. He says, when you're leaning, listen to what you should do. You should eat with your right hand. Simple way to solve the problem. You're leaning on your left side, right? Normally you eat with your left hand. You happen to be a lefty. It's easier to eat with your left hand. This time, use your right hand to eat. Eat with your right hand. It's an easy way to solve the problem. It's Mishnah Berurah Deita. The savior of the Rajbats, the Sifra Yom and Shemua, it's a Gevaldig Eitza. The Shaila is, what if you didn't do it? B'dievet, what's the halacha? Me'esav al tad yamin, Dr. Mishnah Berurah, he was Yoyte, excuse me, B'dievet, me'esav al tad yamin, if he leans on his right side, he is Yoyte. Fine. But I'm saying the other way. What if B'dievet, he leans on his left side? So it sounds like he's Yoyte, but the question is why? I'm leaving off with a question over here. That if he's leaning on his left side and he's eating with his left hand, l'chayr al pi the Gemara, he should not be yotzei aseiba b'chlal. It's a shtickle tzarach beer, why it is that it's mashma over here in the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah that he is going to be yotzei. Shtickle tzarach beer. Question for the tea. Well, you guys will get back to me about that one. Okay.
How does the Torah define chashuv women?
Oh, let's go into the next nekuda. Okay, the next nekuda, what's it called? I wasn't sure exactly how far you guys got in the Ma'amar Komos, but the next nekuda, who is that needs to do a seiba? Who needs to do a seiba? You guys got to this part of the Gemara also? The Gemara says, A woman she does a seva. Now, obviously, we need to explain why should a woman not do it. Number two, the question of a woman won't change anything. And number three, how do we define what is the chash of a woman? Right? That's Billy's question. But before we get to that, let's continue a little bit in the Gemara. Ben eats a lovit, is in the presence of his father, but he is required to do seva. And then the Gemara gets into a question. How did the presence of his Rebbe, the Gemara first things that Abaye was in the presence of his Rebbe, Rabbah, and he did his seva. And then when he was by his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, later, so then he started doing a seba, and Rabbi Yosef said, you don't need to do a seba because Mora Rabcha is Kamar Shemaim. Okay? That's what the Gemara goes through. The Gemara is mashma that that's the maskana. That's how we hold that a Talmud in the presence of his Rebbe does not need to do a seba. Okay, there's a few nekudas here that need explanation. Right? Like we said, what's the pshat by the woman in the presence of her husband? Why no a seba? What's the definition of Isha Chashuva and why should it be different? What's the shot that a ben etzel aviv does require a seba, and why? What's the idea of talmid etzel rabba? How do we understand? So well, let's begin. We have only a few minutes over here, but we'll try to do what we can. Gemara says, "Isha eina tzricha has seba zukt." The Rashbam. You guys saw this Rashbam, important Rashbam. Mipnei emas baila ukfufa loy, because of her fear of her husband, and because she is subject to her husband, she's tied to her husband. And it says in the Shiltas of Rabbi Chai that it's not the way of women to lean. So we have two pirushim over here from the Rashbam. Two pirushim from the Rashbam. Let's explain what these pirushim, how they are addressing the issue. First, the Rashbam says, "Mnei emas ba'alu kfufuloi." What's the pshat? The pshat is because what do we say all the way in the beginning of the sugya? The yisoid of haseba is cheirus, is that we used to be avadim and now we're not avadim anymore. Now we were nigal, so we have cheirus. A wife doesn't have that level of cheirus because she is tied to her husband. She's tied to her husband. Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, says an amazing thing. He says, let's say a woman wants to eat on Shabbos morning, but she didn't hear Kiddush yet. The halacha is, you have to hear Kiddush before you eat. Not let her eat Shabbos morning without Kiddush. So, Dr. Moshe, an amazing Kiddush, says that if theoretically, it would be that she's hungry and her husband didn't come home yet. He didn't come home from shul. So, Dr. Maisha, she's allowed to eat. What do you mean? What about Kiddush? Dr. Maisha, she does not have a chiyuv Kiddush in the first place. Why not? Because she's tali in her husband and her husband didn't come home from shul yet. So, if her husband didn't come home from shul, so that means that the chiyuv Kiddush was never chal on her. So, she's allowed to eat. Right? Goes also another way, another expression where we find is that every woman takes on the minhagim of her husband, right? Classic. Woman that doesn't eat kibrux and then she marries her husband who does eat kibrux. So that takes on the minhagim of her husband. She waits 6 hours, now her husband waits 3 hours, or vice versa. She takes on the minhagim of her husband. She's not Mekabel Shabbos, and the father of the home was Mekabel Shabbos, right? So the halach is now every Shabbos for everybody. That's how it works. Okay, Al Kapanim. So according to this, she's not leaning because she doesn't have that level of cheirus that's negiah by a seba. Okay? Dr. Sheiltis, a different shot. Sheiltis says, Lav dechai d'nashi l'mizga. It's not the way of women to lean. How does that address this issue over here? Teretz is. Because since it's not the way of women to lean, so if I sit straight and I drink my kos, I sit straight and eat my matzah, I'm not lacking in my expression of chedus. It's a precursor for the chiddush of the Rav Yah, like we saw in the previous year, right? Maybe 2 years ago, that the Rav Yah chiddush, that since Bizmanenu, and it's right here in the tour that we just learned, since Bizmanenu, it's not the derech for people to lean when they're eating. So that's not a chisarin in my demonstration of chedus if I ate sitting upright. Because we eat sitting upright. Even free people eat sitting upright. So therefore, if I don't lean, there's no deficiency in my expression of chedus. Okay? Let's just take this to the next point and bring out a tremendous nafkamina. L'chor, there's a massive nafkamina between the Rashbam's pshat and the Shiltas' pshat. According to the Rashbam, what if the girl is not married? Or what if she's married, but she's not in the presence of her husband? According to the Shiltas, L'chor makes no difference. According to the Rashbam, it makes a very big difference. Right? If the whole issue is im baila and kfufaloi, so L'chor, according to the Rashbam, if she's not in the presence of her husband, or if she's not married, she has to leave. According to the Shiltas, no woman has to leave. Big Shiloh in the Poiskin. As Ramah Paskin. Ramah says, Shokhanov says, Ishein etzvichla aseiba, elim keni chashuba. Oh, sorry, I forgot to speak out. Yeah, so according to this, we understand that an Isha chashuba, this is the reason why she does do aseiba. Why does Isha chashuba do aseiba? Because the pshat is that she's not subject, she's not kfufa to her husband. The way the Mepharshim explained chashuba is that she runs the home. She has her own jurisdiction. She does whatever she wants. She has a certain level of independence. That's the nekuda over here. And therefore, she had that demonstration of chayrus, negea, as it is to everybody else. Dr. Shulchan Aruch, ishe enetu chaseba, that she's chashuba. Dr. Ramah, chala nashim shalanu, mikri chashubos. All of our wives, they don't have that level of kfifus to their husband. You know, there were those who wanted to suggest, why is it that this is mentioned in the Ramah amongst the Ashkenazim and not in the Shulchan Aruch amongst the Sfardim? Is because even today, amongst the Sfardim, a woman, a wife, has a level of kfifus to her husband, Masha'in Kain, by the Ashkenazim. It's not like that anymore. So therefore, kol nashim shalanu mikri chashuvos, and therefore they should lean. However, listen to this. Dr. Ramah, however, the minhag is that they don't lean. They don't lean. Why are they not leaning? They have to lean. They're chashuvos. They have to lean. Dr. Ramah, ki sam kol divrei Rav Yah, because they rely on the Rav Yah that says you don't have to lean, bizman hazeh. What? How does that make sense? If we all like the Rav Yah, so then nobody has to lean. And if we don't all like the Rav Yah, then women also have to lean. How do we say women rely on the Rav Yah, but men don't? What's going on here? What's the pshat? It's shver, very, very shver. So Muzaman bothered by the kasha, or Chashokim bothered by the kasha. It's many Mepharshim bothered by this kasha. It doesn't make sense. What's the Ramah doing? The pshat is that really, like we said, the She'iltis is really the same lumdus as the Rav Yah. The She'iltis is saying it's not the derech for women to lean. So therefore, if they don't lean, they're not lacking in the expression of chedus. In the Rav Yah, bizman hazeh, it's not the way to lean. So if you're not leaning, you're not lacking your expression of chedus. Dr. Ramah, what does he mean? The way the Aruch HaShulchan is ma'adbirim and Shlomo Zalman. Similar, they both have similar malachim, slight differences, but similar malachim. The idea is that loynagu kisamchu al divrei Rav Yah, because it was zayin lase. What he means is that we paskin like the she'iltis. The women are saying that we paskin, we follow the sheet of the she'iltis. And that means that since it's not the derech for the women to lean, so then there's no chisarin in cheirus of the women not leaning. The Rav Yah is a maramakam where we find this musik. So that's what the Ramah means. The Ramah means that we rely on the Rav Yah, means we rely on the lumdus of the Rav Yah, which is really being expressed in the She'iltis. as far as women are concerned. That's why it only applies to women and not to men. Because the pshat is, we're not really relying on the Rav Yah. We're leaning on the concept, which the Rav Yah mentions, and is related specifically to women by the shiltas. Comes out, according to this, it makes no difference if she's married, unmarried, present of her husband, not present of her husband, it doesn't make a difference. All women, the minig is not to lean, and that's why the Ramah doesn't differentiate between married, not married, all that, because bottom line is, we're going with the sheet of the shiltas, and the pshat is that since it's not their derech to lean, so therefore there's no concern in the cheirus if they're not going to lean. It's important, though, to appreciate that there is a discussion in the Hemshech of the Gemara, what happens if you have a Talmid Bifnei Rabbi? The Gemara says he doesn't lean. In a tzarech, he doesn't need to lean because Talmid is in front of the Rebbe. There's a certain level of Moira, which means that there's a lacking of the demonstration of Cheirus over here. So we have a Chakira. When it says that he doesn't need to lean, is the pshat that he doesn't need to, but it's mutter? Or the pshat is that he doesn't need to, but it's usher. And it's usher. He doesn't need to, and it's usher to lean. So the lashon of the Gemara is enu tzarech, which is how the Rosh says, is mashma, that it's mutter. But if you look in the Rambam over here, enu meisiv, the Rambam says. Enu meisiv. He doesn't say enu tzarech lasev. He says enu meisiv. You don't do a seva unless you got permission. Talk to Rambam. If you don't have permission to do a seva in the presence of your Rebbe, it's usher to do a seva. And therefore, the Chok Yaakov and the Paiskim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch.
Just your Rebbe Mavuk?
Any Rebbe that you learned from.
Okay.
Any Rebbe that you learned from. It's usher to lean in his presence. Right? Now, what's the idea? Because it's a bizarre. It's a lack of respect. Al pi zeh, I want to just bring it back to the case of a woman. If we're going to say that a woman is putter from leaning, so the pshat is that it means she's usher? Is that the pshat? She's usher to lean? Just like we see over here by the Talmud, she's usher? No. L'chayru, we can be machalik. Why? Because the lumbus of why a Talmud doesn't lean, the pshat is because why? Like we said, because of the yira, the ema. So he has to be acting in that way of ema and yira. And leaning is a stira to that. So therefore, he's not allowed to do it. He's not allowed to do it unless he has permission. Mashenkin by a wife, a woman. So alpi, the cheshbon of the Rashbam, maybe in a chanami, we would have said that it would be usher to lean if she's in the presence of her husband. But now, now that we're saying that the halacha is by women based on the she'iltis, based on Rabbi Chaygon, it's not because of the yira, not because of the ema. What is it cause? Because it's just that's not the way they express cheiros. In Cain, there's no iser. If they want to lean, they could lean. There's no iser. That's what comes out. Tremendous nafkamina between the two pirushim and very halach l'maisa for all the nashim in Klai Yisrael. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, we're going to talk about the matzah.